Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Please welcome to Harbor of Joy. Please stand with us as we worship.
Somebody said, how many people do you think will be here today? It's pretty icy out there. And I just said, I don't know. We just have to wait and see. Good to see you. And we're thankful that we're in Advent, which means Christmas is coming. And so I just want to call upon Becky Rowe. She's got an announcement that has to do with the Bible camp, I believe. Right, Becky? Let me see, can I use your mic here? Is it on? Okay, good.
So I just recently have been made aware of two different opportunities that we can key into to help financially for the Okoboji Lutheran Bible Camps if we desire. So I wanted to just pass that along to everyone. There is an anonymous donor who has pledged to match up to $50,000 for the Timothy Cabin Project. And that means, of course, that a total of $100,000 could go to improvements to allow for more housing there for kids and families. Then they wouldn't have to be put on a waiting list, some of them, to actually attend camp. And of course, as that would accommodate more people to stay at the camp, it would also accommodate them to grow spiritually through the programming there. This donor will match those funds that are given until just the end of this month. And I understand our church has given some money to this project already, but I wanted to inform our community so that individual donors will also know about that opportunity. One more, another anonymous donor has pledged to match another $50,000 for the purpose of increasing wages to be competitive in hiring well-qualified camp counselors and other staff. and that donor will continue to match funds into 2025. So that opportunity gives a little more time. If you would like to donate, you can mark your check appropriately, the Timothy Project or for camp staff development. And for more details, you can ask me. I do have a phone number for Roger Carlin, and he is the development coordinator for those two opportunities.
Thank you, Becky, very much. Here you go. You know, one of the great things to hear this is because I really don't know a whole lot about the Bible camp. You have a history as people in this community who are connected in ways that I'm not. I'm still kind of on the learning curve here. So thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. Because it's like, I'm all for Bible camp. I just want you to know that. And I just want you to know that it's expensive to send somebody to Bible camp. It's not like it used to. Before, you could probably do it for $100 or $200. Now it's up into $400 per person for Bible camp. It just keeps kind of going up there. So but anyway, it's a great thing to know about, is it Cabin, First Timothy?
Yeah.
Cabin?
The Timothy Cabin Project.
The Timothy Cabin Project. So if you got any questions or want to know more about it, there's a person to talk to. Thank you, Becky. Talk to Becky if you need to do that. Just want you to know, too, that this coming week, well, first of all, your kids know that when I start preaching, what do you get to do? You get to listen to your parents first. And if they give you the nod that you can go down to the fireside room, then that's where you go during the sermon. And then it's kind of like when the sermon is done and church is kind of over with, they'll let you out type of a thing. Sometimes they got something for you to do down there as well, coloring stuff, things like that. It takes time to do that. So anyway, we're going to have kids released when I preach today. Now, those of you that are new here or don't know about this, but I only preach for like 2 hours. I don't do that. So that's just kind of what goes on. We're just trying to get some Sunday school, get some kids together, and see if they can't develop into more of a Sunday school type of a thing. So there will be no confirmation today. Sharon and I are going to be leaving for North Dakota just to go see my mom. And we'll be back Thursday. And we are kind of going there to just to see her, because we haven't seen her for a long time, and she was in the ER this last week and found out some things through that I think it's important to go back and to spend time with her. So I just want you to know that. And yes, it's going to be a lot colder going in that direction, and the roads will probably be more icy, but we'll get there. We'll just take it slower than what we normally would do. I will not let Sharon drive, so it'll be longer for us to get there, because I'll be driving. So at any rate, just want you to take a little time and read what's going on this coming week because of that, because I'm not going to be here. Grief Share will still meet for the very last time if there's anyone here. Suzanne's going to lead that. On Wednesday, there will be no second-year confirmation class, because I'll be gone. And then also on Thursday, there'll be no Lunch with the Bunch either, because I'm going to be gone, and we'll just have to do that last lesson beginning of next year when we get together on Jude, study of Jude. So just keep that in mind. Oh, there's no Wednesday night fellowship this week either. Dean Ramsey, well, we'll get to that here in just, I can probably just start there now. Dean Ramsey is in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's not pulling the one-armed bandits, okay? But he's in the hospital there with his son, Rob. And just keep that in prayer. Rob's got some infection in his spinal column that's affecting his body. Rob cannot move his arms. He cannot move his legs. And he's getting some feeling in one of his calves. He's got some feeling. He's got some feelings in one of his hands. So, I mean, there's a long ways to go here. So in praying with both him and with Cheryl. Cheryl hasn't been feeling so well either, but she wants to get out to Las Vegas too, and all of those kinds of things are happening in that household. So we're going to pray for them as well as for Dylan Burns as well before I'm done with this. And Idella. Idella had a heart attack, and she's now in hospice, but she is at home here in Milford. And so just pray for Idella as well as Doug. Doug, I think, is a great trooper in how he's handling all of this with his wife. And I think they got some company. Their kids have come up, I think, from Colorado. And there's one that is locally that is helping out as well. So keep that in mind. You got Marlene Johnson, this morning she's got to have surgery again next month with her kidney stones. Yeah, do you got any rolling stones in there? I don't know. But sad to hear that too, Marlene. We'll pray for you before we get done here. But I do want us to see a video that is with the plan that we have in place to read through the Bible in a year. It starts on January 1. And so this will be a little bit more of an introduction to what we'll be doing on the video. So you can play that now, Lynn-Ann, okay?
Have you ever closed your Bible and thought, what did I just read? If so, I'm here to help. I'm Tara Lee Cowell, and I host a short daily podcast called The Bible Recap, and I also have a book by the same name. Here's how The Bible Recap works. You'll just sign up for one of our reading plans here on the YouVersion app. The Bible Recap has a one-year chronological whole Bible plan, and we also have a three-month chronological New Testament plan. Regardless of which plan you choose, you'll have an average of about 12 minutes of reading each day, usually around three chapters. Then, you'll come to us to recap what you just read. Our short daily recaps are about 8 minutes each, and I offer historical and biblical context for what we've read, as well as connecting the dots throughout the whole chronological timeline of Scripture. I even work to help resolve those areas that seem like they may contradict each other. And we end each day's recap by focusing on what we learned about God in that day's reading. We call it our God shot, our snapshot of God and His character. You can find the Bible Recap podcast in your podcast app of choice, or you can watch the Bible Recap videos on our YouTube channel. The Bible Recap will not only help you read Scripture, but will help you understand it and love it. And we'd love for you to join us. Feel free to invite your friends, your family, small group, your entire church to join us too. You can find our plans here in the YouVersion app, and everything else you need is on the start page of our website, thebiblerecap.com.
So what's the key word that you heard? Well, that's one of them. Chronological is what she was saying too. Chronological, kind of the order in which the Bible has been given, and that's kind of how it all fits together type of a thing. But if you got questions on that, see Patty Griffiths and Angela Berg or Amy Johnson, if you need help with an app, you know. Don't ask me to do anything on an app. I have no idea. But if you need help with that, see those ladies. And we're looking forward to getting started with that in the first day of January of 2025. Can you believe that? So with that, I just want us to pray together. There's other things in your bulletin, and so you can read those. There are opportunities that you can read about for yourself this morning, but let us just pray for those that are on the prayer request here today and be mindful of them in the days ahead as well. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today because we know that we can come to you who is on the throne of grace. We find that in Hebrews chapter 4. That's where you are, and you ask us, you invite us to come and share our concerns, our prayer requests with you, because you love to hear them. Even if we've prayed many times before, even if there's times we say, like, I don't even know how to pray anymore, But we still bring them to you this morning. Pray that you be with the Ramseys, Lord, and especially with Rob as he lies in intensive care in the hospital in Las Vegas. Be with Cheryl to help her feel well enough and good enough to be able to get to Las Vegas. Dean is there already. And so be with Dean and help him as a father, as a dad, with Rob. And it's tough to see your only son who is lying there in the bed, and there's just like no answers, or people just don't know what to do next. And I think the doctors and the surgeons are the same way. But he's much better off now than what he was when he first came in. And so we just pray for your healing touch. We pray for your presence to be felt in a way that's never been felt before. But most of all, may there be a peace that comes upon them where they know the peace is from you, Lord. This is all in your hands. We pray too, Lord, for Marlene as she thinks about having surgery and going through some of those things that she's been through before. So not something you look forward to, but yet knowing that is something that needs to be done as well. We pray for Dylan with his seizures that's been plaguing him on and off, and be with Lynanne, his mom, as she gets very involved in his life and wants the best for him as well. So we just, a lot of times there's things, Lord, we just don't know what's going to happen or what the plan is for you, but we put it in your hands and we just trust you. And that's not always a fun place to be either. But all we can do is trust you, because we know that you will do what only you can do. And so we're leaning on you as you have invited us to do so. So we just pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, and thank you for the patience of everyone here today, for the announcements, and for those standing up here on the up front here to play and remind us of why of why we are excited about Christmas as we are every year. It's not always everybody's favorite time of the year, but we still know that there's hope given to not only us, but to the whole world because of what takes place. When we look at what took place there in Bethlehem many, many hundreds of years ago. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lynn, would you want to do the call to worship, or do you want me? Okay. I will do it. And then McKenna is going to light the Advent candles as I read. Comes from Psalm 85. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps.
With them.
Turn on my mic. Thank you, praise band. That was awesome. Is there an amen out there for them? Yeah, thank you so much. As you are released to be seated for a while, thank you so much. I just can't get over what we've just heard. Wonderful, wonderful. The responsive reading comes from Philippians this morning. Hope you find these words as an encouragement and thought-provoking as well. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Do not be anxious about anything. Hear that? Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Curtis Jazz is going to come and sing as he's accompanied by Lynn Kelling and, who are you? Okay. My wife, Sharon. Lord bless you, Curtis.
I wander as I wander out under the sky. How Jesus, our Savior, did come for to die. For poor ordinary people like you and like I. I wander as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of angels it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any we sing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he was the King. I want wonder as I wander out under the sky. Oh, Jesus, the Savior, did come for to die. For poor, ordinary people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky.
I wonder as I wander. Yes, the kids can go at this time. Only if you want to. I guess they want to. Okay. Any adults want to go with the kids? You can go as well if you want to, too. Oh, Lisa's going to go. Yeah. Well, as they are being dismissed, I just want to let you know that the text I'm going to read, I invite you to stand as I read it. I just want you to pay close attention to the bookends, the very first sentence, as well as the very last sentence of our text here today. Luke chapter 7, 18 through 28. Now, Luke, remember, is... what is his occupation? He's a historian, and he's a doctor. Or he's a doctor and a historian, however you want to say it. So what we have here is he has done a lot of investigating, and he wrote down through the help of the Holy Spirit that we know as the Gospel of Luke. So we are in Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 28. John's disciples told him, and him is John the Baptist. So his own disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, came to him and told John the Baptist about all these things. Now you're going to have to know what those things are by reading whatever comes before this. I'm not going to do that for you. So calling two of them, John the Baptist, he sent them to the Lord to ask a question. He's sending his disciples now to Jesus. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Hear that, Jackie? Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Heavenly Father, in our time together here this morning, bring your words to life. Help us to see what we did not see before. Help us to hear your voice in our lives here this morning through your word and your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We all have doubts, don't we? Being with some of the people here in this church this past week, it's like I don't know how you can go from everything seems to be pretty quiet to a whirlwind. But I find that there are doubts, even in my own self. Finding doubts. Pray. Because that's all you can do. And trust that God is going to intervene or do things that we are not able to see. But we can have doubts even when we have believed in Jesus Christ for a long time. And doubts come a lot of times when things don't go our way, right? Christmas is coming. Yoo-hoo! And the real meaning of Christmas, sorry to say, well, no, I'm not sorry. It's not about Santa Claus. The real meaning of Christmas is about one who is coming as a babe, Jesus Christ. Our Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to leave heaven to come to this earth to become one of us, only to be sinless. And none of us know what that's like. Christmas is not about making money, but oftentimes the stores and the businesses are looking at, well, this is kind of our reason to make a lot of money here now because of the season. It's not really about receiving gifts, but yet it can be something we enjoy getting. But the biggest gift is Jesus himself that has come to be our gift in life every day. So it's not about that list that Santa, we're told, keeps if you're naughty and nice. It has nothing to do with that, thankfully. Because I wouldn't get a gift at all. I would be on the naughty list, more than likely. But that's this past year. Here we find John the Baptist having some doubts, and he should have some doubts because where is he at as he speaks to his disciples that come to him? We find that he's in prison. He's in jail. Now, when you're in jail, you have a lot of time to think, don't you? Some of you have a lot of time to think, and you're not even in jail. You do that at home or in a vehicle as you drive around or whatever. Maybe it's in a store. But John the Baptist, out of all people, is having some doubts about who Jesus is. And maybe you're here this morning, you have the same kind of a thing. You go like, I can relate to him. I have doubts too. But John the Baptist, of all people, having some doubts. He knows that his mouth got him into trouble before. That's really why he's in jail, why he's in prison. His mouth got him into trouble. But John is wondering if Jesus is the one that the prophet spoke about, who is to come to be the anointed one or to be the Messiah. He's wondering, was I too premature in saying that, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, before he was baptized? And John the Baptist baptized him. And when Jesus came up out of the water, you have Jesus there, you got the sound of God saying, this is my son who I'm well pleased, and you got what looks like a dove that represents the Holy Spirit, or is the Holy Spirit. But the three in one are there when Jesus is baptized. Some people said they just heard thunder. It wasn't really God. Try to explain away some of these things. But John is having some doubts about his cousin. He's only probably 3 months younger than Jesus. They're not that far apart. John the Baptist's mother is Elizabeth. And we know that Jesus' mother, his earthly mother, was Mary. But it was an immaculate conception. She was a virgin. No way could that have happened unless God had been involved in doing this through his Holy Spirit. So John is wondering, could I have been wrong with all this? And so he wants two of his disciples to go and find Jesus wherever he's at, and they probably know where he's at because they're going to go and find him and go with the message that John the Baptist gives them. But the question is, are you the one or not? And he could be saying, why am I in this prison? Why haven't you come to set me free? Because your word says, you've come to set the captives free. Here I am in jail. But we find that Jesus never goes back to release John. He doesn't even go back to talk to John. John the Baptist, like I said, got his mouth got him into trouble because he had said to Herod Antipas. Now, Herod Antipas, we're familiar with, he's the same Herod that became friends with the king when Jesus was on trial, and they became friends on the day in which Jesus was crucified. But this is what John the Baptist said to Herod Antipas. And this is what got him put in prison. Put in jail. He said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. What? That's what he said. His brother is Philip. Philip was married to Herodias. Herod Antipas, the brother to Philip, took Herodias as his wife. Which kind of shows you how messed up the family is. And because of that, interesting enough, Herod Antipas knows that John the Baptist is kind of a different kind of a guy, and he likes him. Even though he keeps him in prison or sent him to prison, but the reason he's in prison because Herod Antipas knows that his wife Herodias hates this guy, not only wants him arrested, but she wants to see him dead. But Herod Antipas says, I kind of like this guy, and And he liked listening to John the Baptist. And Herodias knew that her husband and John the Baptist had something, there was something there where her husband protected him and enjoyed him and knew that he was a righteous and a holy man. Even though he's a little bit odd compared to the rest of society. But she does get her way when her daughter dances for the king and for all of his noble guys. So doubts do happen. Getting back to doubts, like I said, John's had a lot of time to think about what's he doing? You know, why has he baptized people in the Jordan River and people came out all the way out from Jerusalem out to the desert where the river is at? They lined up, they're confessing their sins, they're repenting of them to God. Some amazing things are going on here. But now he's in jail, confined. How can this be God's plan for somebody like him? If God is really real or Jesus is who he is, well, he should be coming, get me out of this mess. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, do I have more doubts when I find that I'm alone? Do I have more doubts when I'm alone? Rather than when I'm with people or if I'm doing something. And the answer to that's pretty easy, isn't it? When you're alone and not really doing anything, guess what? The tempter will come and start messing with your mind to make you question even your faith. When things don't go your way, we're more apt to start wondering and have doubts. It's like that song, I wander as I wonder. Is that the way it is? is that the name of the song, Curtis? Okay, I got it right. It happens usually when we're alone, by ourselves. And that can be in a lot of different places, at a lot of different times throughout life. Doubts can cause us to become anxious and to worry. Is that what Jesus really wants us to go in that direction? To be anxious and to worry? I would say no. Because that shows we're not trusting him. Worry and anxiousness is the opposite of faith. And what's interesting is that the question that John wants an answer to, Jesus doesn't really give him the answer. I mean, Jesus gives him an answer he already knows. Because Jesus tells those two disciples that came and found him and asked him, are you the one that we have been waiting for? It's Jesus who says, now you go back and you tell John, he's a cousin, you tell John what they've already said to him before. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And good news is being preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Do you think that was specifically put in there for John to hear? Hang in there, John, but don't fall away. Don't lose your faith over me, Jesus. What's really interesting here is that Jesus waits until these two guys leave before he starts telling the rest of the crowd that's there, telling them of how wonderful John the Baptist is and who he really is. But he waits till those people leave. Now, why is that important? Because A lot of times people can be very nice to you face to face, but once they leave, guess what? Backstab. After being so nice to you. Interesting. Jesus waits till these disciples are gone. And then he tells the people how wonderful and great John the Baptist is. Why would anyone want to leave Jerusalem, where the city is, and to go out to the desert and to find the Jordan River where John the Baptist is at? It's a long ways to walk, or to ride a horse, or to go in a buggy, or whatever they would ride out there in. Did they go out there to see just a reed that's going to be blown by the wind? And the answer to that is, John the Baptist is not a reed that gets blown around. John the Baptist has a backbone. He does not get blown around whichever way the wind comes from. He says, this is what God says. Like it or not, repent. I mean, who likes to hear that? Repent. But that's what John's ministry was all about. Getting people to be hungry and thirsty for God and to see the salvation that they need themselves. And the only way to receive that is to admit that they're a sinner. How many like to admit that they're a sinner? Because that's what all of us here are. Every one of us. We're not perfect. So Jesus says, go and tell John all that you have said to him, what the scriptures say about the one who is coming. I've done all these. These are the things I'm actively doing. So you're kind of asking a question where you already know the answer. I'm the one. It should be used as a way of encouraging him and to make him feel like, okay, good. Whew. I just was having a senior moment there for a while. Couldn't remember what I'm supposed to be doing. We find that John the Baptist was not only a reed swaying in the wind, he was not that person. And he was not a man that really went along with the fashion of the day. What he wore, we would kind of go like, why would he wear that? Camel's hair. I mean, I don't have anything camel's hair in my life. But camel's hair is itchy. Why would you wear something that's itchy? If you wore something that was itchy, what would you do with it? You'd get rid of it. John the Baptist wore clothes that were camel's hair, and he wore a big leather belt. He was a lot like Elijah in the Old Testament, things that Elijah wore. He did not wear fine, expensive clothing. He was not a man of luxury, that he came from a mansion like with a four-stall garage and a swimming pool in the backyard. He didn't have a Lamborghini to drive around. John was the simplest kind of guy that you'd ever meet. And so Jesus is just saying, he is a prophet, a great prophet. What he has said, what he does, is true. Do not question John the Baptist. So it comes to this, my friends, just in concluding the sermon. The people that he's addressing, they have heard many stories about John the Baptist, or they know something about him. And what Jesus is saying to them, they're going to be going like, yeah, that's John. But we find that in Malachi, which is one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, the very last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, as well as the prophet Isaiah talk about this guy, John the Baptist. He is there to prepare the way for the one who is to come, who's Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he does that. That's why he's such a great prophet. He's doing what the prophets have said. He fulfills what the prophets have said more than 500 years ago. I think Isaiah is like 600 years before Jesus is even born. So what does that have to do with us today? Very simple. Are you humble? Are you humble? Is humility a part of your life where you know that God will use you and work in and through you because he has his way, because you're humble? Humility is at work. And that's really something that only the Holy Spirit can make us be like, to be humble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think there's a song that talks about being humble in every way. It's really something that is not really who we are, because we would rather be prideful and very overly confident in a lot of things. But today, Lord, we hear a completely different message of what's important to you is being humble. Your word says if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you need to be a servant for all people. Forgive us of wanting to be served rather than to serve one another. Because that's humility, that's being humble, being a servant. Even in times when we don't feel like it, we will do it because we do it for Jesus. He's the one that keeps us humble. He came to the stable and humbles the world by becoming one of us. So may Jesus always be the Lord of lords and the King of kings in each of our hearts and each of our lives. And may we come to that point and place where we don't wander around, but or even wonder about who Jesus is, but we know we have his word. We go back to what the word says, who he is. And that's where we pound in our stake. This is the truth. May he continue to be the truth, living in us as well as in our hearts and minds, in how we live our lives from day to day. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, and we pray the prayer together of what you told your disciples to say or pray together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I don't know if you've mentioned, if you've sensed the Lord's Prayer as well as the Apostles' Creed and the benediction, that it needs to humble us. You see the humility that comes from both of these three things. May we be humbled and follow Jesus as well. We pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated.